you just started? 45 minutes.
Oh, I started recording already.
Okay, good.
That's how we're going to open it. That's how it's going to go. Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm Chris Towers, joined by Heath Cummings and Joe Polito.
Just opening and talking about a baseball draft that you guys are going to be late to.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Joe.
What's up?
How was your weekend?
It was awesome.
I was here by myself.
Yeah. How did that go? I didn't listen.
Probably for the best.
Okay.
No, I received one very nice comment from someone who said that they thought it wasn't bad.
All right.
So
that's a win.
I'll take not bad.
Yeah.
I'm aiming for not bad every time. Heath.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, Chris.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the last day of the Royals championship reign.
That's true.
And I'm enjoying it fully.
Who do you guys have tonight? I know it's not a basketball thing, but
Cubs.
Who's going to win the World Series?
Cubs.
Yeah, Madden puts Chapman in the fourth this time. It really pays off. He just goes to cruise the rest of the game. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. I'll be unoriginal and say I think the Cubs are going to win as well.
We know everyone tuned in to talk about baseball.
Exactly.
That's what we opened with.
So, baseball talk ends now.
We'll make some time for election talk, but election and baseball chiefly on this podcast.
Not touching that with a 10-foot pole, Joseph. Let's talk about some basketball, though. We got the big news. We got some Wednesday DFS talk. We've got a million-dollar contest on both DraftKings and FanDuel tonight, right?
Right. Yeah.
So that's big if you want to put down a $25 entry on FanDuel.
I was thinking about winning both of them.
It's a good plan.
I think you should. I'll take a 2% cut.
What would be the appropriate gift for me to give you if I won $200,000?
Ooh, something expensive, but also very trolly that he would not
cash.
Fully...
The day, like, I would only give you something if I won it on a day that we did a podcast together.
It would be cash.
Like if it was tomorrow, no, you don't get anything.
Like a $1,500 in cash.
Like yeah. A plaque of Steph Curry's underdog speech from the commercial.
That's not a bad idea.
Okay. Just like engraved.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Sure.
Maybe a Jay Crowder jersey.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Authentic. You could pour it for
Marcus
that one.
Smart, really. If we're going to be honest.
Oh, all Celtics players, you hate.
Yeah, get me all 12, all 15.
Yeah.
Give me the whole team.
That would be the best.
That sounds good. So we'll talk about DFS a little later. We're going to talk about players that you should or should not be worried about. We're going to maybe we might do some trivia today.
Oh.
See if we have some time.
Oh.
I was thinking about that. See if you guys can figure out who's doing well early in the season. But first, let's start with the big news. Ricky Rubio out indefinitely with an elbow sprain. Now, out indefinitely is a scary, ominous-sounding diagnosis, but from all accounts, it's not a serious elbow injury. No ligament damage. Probably most people around the team seem to believe he'll be back within a couple of weeks. But Chris Dunn did get the start on Tuesday, had 10 points, 4 boards, 6 assists, 5 steals, and 3 turnovers in his first career NBA start. Do we think Chris Dunn has a chance to run away with this job? We know Tom Thibodeau likes strong defensive point guards.
Yeah, I mean, if he keeps that steals number up, I think they're kind of using this as an excuse to see what they have in him. So clearly, you know, if they're not rushing Rubio back with a slight elbow thing, then there probably is a chance.
I don't think he steals the job.
Okay.
He has a chance to carve out a huge role for himself, but I think he also has a chance to get exposed.
I think that's probably true. He was really bad in the preseason, so I don't have high expectations for Dunn since it's not a long-term thing at this point. I'm not saying he's a must-add fantasy player. I think he's a should-add, but definitely not a must-add. Like in a 10-team league, I don't know how much appeal Chris Dunn's.
Because he's not going to do point guard-ish things. Yeah. Like if he does achieve good value, it's going to be with defensive stats and kind of scrappy play like that.
Mm-hmm. I do think there's a chance it opens the door to a possible Ricky Rubio trade later on. If Chris Dunn really plays well, that makes it more likely that Rubio will be traded. I think he's one of the more likely players to get traded anyway.
I'm curious about that because that was something that was talked about quite a bit in the offseason.
Yeah.
What do the Timberwolves really need more than that?
They kind of just need space for their young players
to grow. Shooting four.
A
stretch four. I don't know who that would be in this trade landscape. I don't know how much trade value Ricky Rubio has.
Yeah, it's hard to know who wants a kind of sort of on the decline passing specialist in today's NBA.
Moving on, Michael Carter-Williams out 4 to 6 weeks with a bone bruise and a sprained MCL, I believe. He's out 4 to 6 weeks for the Bulls. Chance for Denzel Valentine, potentially, but it sounds like Isaiah Kanan is going to get a larger role. He's nothing but a three-point specialist, but in your category-based leagues, if you need three-point shooting, he could have some value. It does sound like they're going to just rely on Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler to create for the second units for now, but opens a door for Denzel Valentine, who is a very skilled rookie, extremely good passer, solid all-around player, worth keeping an eye on at the very least. Al Horford out Wednesday with a concussion he sustained in Monday's practice. The Celtics just practice too hard. They're too scrappy. Need to go a little less hard, Heath. You get the message up to Brad?
I think Chris is doing a thing.
He's going to love so those jerseys.
He is out with Wednesday with a concussion. We know concussions can linger, can be, you know, there's no set timetable, so Al Horford definitely a little cloudy moving forward. Big trade yesterday.
Yeah.
Ersan Ilyasova traded to the Philadelphia 76ers for Jeremy Grant. Trust the process. They got a conditional first-round pick in the future. I'm not sure if this trade has any fantasy ramifications.
The Sixers got a conditional first-round pick?
Yes.
And Ersan Ilyasova for Jeremy Grant?
For Jeremy Grant.
I guess the Thunder really wanted him. Well, I mean,
why?
Jeremy Grant, I believe he has 2 years left on a very cheap contract. Opens up salary cap room, gives them a trade exception. I believe they are one Enes Kanter away from having max room this offseason. So, you know, they go out and get Rudy Gay.
I'm not even sure. They're not a max player away from being good.
Probably not. Especially not the guys who are max players right now.
Right.
For fantasy, I don't think it has any... You know, maybe Ersan Ilyasova cuts into Darius Saric's role a little bit.
And he's not playing tonight, apparently.
Ersan Ilyasova is not playing tonight. He did not play yesterday either. I believe he still has to go through the physical. Jeremy Grant will probably play for the Thunder, but he's a little Andre Roberson-esque. Like he's.
Do you think this cuts into Roberson?
Maybe, but I don't know if that has any fantasy impact. Jeremy Grant, what we liked about him in Philadelphia was he had a chance to get a lot of minutes.
Right.
Rack up those defensive numbers. I don't know if he's going to do that in Oklahoma City, so I don't think this really has any fantasy ramifications. If you had Jeremy Grant, maybe you're dropping him. He probably plays about 20 minutes a game. And Alec Burks underwent surgery on his left ankle, had surgery on that ankle, as well as his left knee in June, so that's not a good sign. No specific timetable right now. It was a debridement surgery. Insert corny joke about your wife.
I think it would be a divorce a divorce joke, right?
Yeah, something like
that. Debridement?
Yeah, I think that definitely sounds like a joke that like a hacky sitcom in the 90s would have made.
But not this podcast.
Not this podcast. No, we wouldn't do that.
Highbrow.
So Alec Burks, I wouldn't expect much. Maybe if you're stashing him, I'd probably go ahead and drop him at this point. You guys want to worry?
Yeah, let's move on from all that positivity to some negativity.
You know, that's the problem is that there's not a lot, there's not often big news that is positive in sports.
Most you could just talk news. About like things that are going well.
Yeah,
you
talk
could,
about the guys that are healthier than
we,
ever. Chris.
We could have done a segment on fast starters instead of slow starters.
Maybe next
we
time.
We could do that right now.
Like guys that are doing better than expected.
We could do that right now.
That would
now.
Be positive.
I've got. Do you guys want to play Fantasy Feud before we move on to the worrying?
Fantasy Feud.
Have you ever done this, Keith?
Yeah,
I'm sure you have.
I've never done it with NBA.
Oh.
We're going to do the leaders in various statistical categories.
So far this year?
So far this year.
Okay.
Huge sample size.
Yeah. Counting stats.
So we're not doing per game?
No. Counting stats.
So you have to know who's played the most games?
That might be the answer.
Okay.
You guys want to start with points?
Yes.
Just shout out. The answer, it's just a shout out if
well,
you want
to. We have to.
Buzz in.
Buzz in. Who has the most points in the
Who
NBA?
Who has the most points
Are we
in the
looking
NBA?
For the top how many answers?
Top five.
Anthony
top five
Davis.
Answers.
Anthony Davis, number one. Do you want to steal or pass?
Pass. Yeah. Okay, that was a good choice.
Do you get a point for each one you get right?
You
or
know, no. I think
okay,
we
you
never
one for
quite
the
right. remember.
No,
the
go,
this
go,
this
go.
Is how it works. I have to name all four now, yes. or he has to steal it.
Yes.
There's no points.
And you get three strikes.
James Harden.
James Harden is correct. Number five.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant is not correct.
Bom, bom, bom.
Strike one.
Okay. That's fine. I don't even care.
Are there surprises on this list?
Oh, there's some major surprises.
I would say there's at least one surprise.
Yeah. LeBron James.
LeBron James is incorrect. Dang. Strike two.
Yeah. And
we don't even look at points. We kind of just ignore points.
Right. Yeah. Like
just,
points
there.
Points per game or points per game would have been a little bit easier.
Well,
Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard, number three, saved your skin. You got two more.
Two more to go. I will go with. Jeez. This is not a good game when it's played in this manner. I will go with Paul Millsap.
Incorrect. Joe, do you want to steal?
He didn't have a choice.
I mean,
he has to name one of the two names.
Well, I passed to him.
But are you going to steal?
I will attempt. DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins, number four.
Woo, Joe wins that round.
Number two is Kawhi Leonard, 142 points.
I was going to guess him for anything because the Spurs have played a bunch.
They have played five games. I believe they are the only team that has played five games. He is playing absolutely outstanding ball. Let's move on to assists. Total assists. Heath.
John Wall.
John Wall is incorrect.
James Harden.
James Harden is correct. Leads the NBA with 47 assists in four games, almost 12 per game.
I guess Wall's only played three games?
Yep.
Okay.
And Harden's just kind of been, he's been getting like four assists per second.
Wall's got some
like
type of record going on with 15 straight games with 10 assists in a game or something.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Joe, do you want to answer or pass?
I'm going to pass again. That was kind of entertaining.
That's probably a good idea.
I'll just sit back and wait.
You know what? Let's go with Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin is incorrect. That's
incorrect.
Strike one.
Okay.
He's trying to be too cute. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at a list of player
names.
Looking
at player names.
Yes.
No numbers.
Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook, number four, 35 assists in three games.
Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard is incorrect. You have one more strike.
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul is incorrect. You are out.
Oh, boy.
Joe usually loses these.
I never win these.
Yeah, no, I'm not great at this. Point guard from the Pelicans, whose name is escaping me right now, who's a looter in a riot right now.
Well, you've got to say the name.
You have to say the name.
I know the name you're thinking of. I considered saying the name.
Yep.
He's in one of my FanDuel lineups. Tim Frazier. There
Tim
go.
Frazier. So he wins that category as well?
If Tim Frazier was correct.
Tim Frazier was correct. Number three.
Okay.
The rest of the top five. LeBron James at number two with 38 in four games. 9.5 assists. Also averaging 9.5 rebounds. Did you know LeBron James is third on the Cavaliers in scoring right now?
Sounds about right.
Okay.
Russell Westbrook is fourth. Like
I said it.
Ty Lawson is fifth with 31 through four games. 7.5 per game. Final category.
Yes.
Let's make it double or nothing.
Okay.
Rebounds.
What? Who agreed to that?
That's how it works. Rebounds. Okay. I've got a fourth, but this is going too long. Heath going again. He's going for it.
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis is third. Way to go, Heath.
All right.
53 rebounds in four games for Anthony Davis.
I'll play.
He's going to play. Let's hear it.
DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins is number five. There are six in this category, by the way.
What the? Well, how does that happen?
There was a tie for fifth.
I'm on fire here.
There was a tie for fifth.
It's double or nothing.
Andre Drummond.
Andre Drummond, number one with 62, had a 19 rebound game in last night's contest.
Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert, number five, tied for fifth. You have three left.
What do you mean? I've named four that you said were on the list.
No, you named three.
Boogie.
Yeah. Oh, you've named four. You're
okay.
Right. You got ten.
DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan is incorrect. They've only played three games. Learn from your mistakes earlier.
Like, I'm supposed to just have a list of every team that's played four games.
You said Chris Paul. He wasn't on the assist one.
Tyson Chandler.
Tyson Chandler is not on there.
Really?
Two strikes?
That's two strikes.
We'll give you four strikes this time.
No, damn. I don't need four strikes.
This host is off the rails.
I don't need four strikes. I don't want your sympathy.
Four strikes.
Hassan Whiteside.
Hassan Whiteside, number two, with 55 rebounds through four games.
So there's only one player left?
Only one player left.
Hi.
He was a bust candidate for me.
No.
No clues.
Don't start giving clues. Are you kidding me?
I knew who it was before that clue, I think.
Wow.
I think. Wow.
Maybe.
Possibly. Well, we're only giving you one strike if he strikes out.
All right.
Express too much confidence.
Okay. These rules are so flexible.
Look, this is how Louis Anderson did it. We're playing the Louis Anderson rules.
Gotcha. Steve Harvey is a man of structure.
Yeah, I don't have any idea, so I'll just say Dwight Howard.
Close.
That was going to be my guess. So now I'm less confident.
Plays for Dwight Howard's former team. Oh, well, no. That was you guessed Dwight Howard.
Plays for Dwight Howard's former team? How former? Nikola Vucevic.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Swip.
He does not win.
That could have been tricky, though. He won, but he said former he team. You probably think it was the Rockets.
He won even without that.
How many clues does Joe get?
Literally less than you did.
It was a clue for you, really. Never coming in the show again.
Now that we got that positivity out of the way.
Man, I'm glowing with positivity now.
Is it time to worry? I went on Twitter. I asked for some questions of players that various listeners might be worrying about. Let's make them feel better or make them feel worse. Nikola Jokic, averaging actually 13.3 points, 9.3 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 1.3 steals. Those are solid numbers. But he's been very up or down. Had a big second game, 21 minutes, 34 minutes, 22 minutes so far. Is it time to worry about Nikola Jokic?
What were you expecting?
I would say you were expecting something close to those numbers. It's the minutes that I think people would be worried.
Like I said, what were you expecting?
Yeah, the Nuggets kind of profiled to be this team that could either go with young or old or fast or slow. Or
now, I will say it's three games, and there very well could be the next three games are 32, 21, 34.
Yeah.
But so I don't think two out of every three games he's only going to play 20 minutes, but I don't think his minutes are going to be anywhere close to consistent.
Well, that was the hope. You know, this was a guy in your category-based leagues that a lot of the time was going third, fourth, fifth round. People expected him to be a big breakout. He was really good in the second half. And the hope was that after some inconsistent minutes last season, that would change. And, you know, it's kind of... Is it time to worry about Jokic returning third, fourth, fifth round value?
Not fifth.
Okay.
I don't think.
I would agree with that. I don't think... I think only the most insider of people were like super high on him to begin with. So hopefully they had a fail-safe in place for, you know, when his
people were taking him as a number one center, I would say. And that's a little worrisome at this point.
I think he will be a top 12 center.
Okay. Klay Thompson, 16.8 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists per game. Those are decent numbers. The scoring is way down, and that's because he's shooting 10.7% from 3-point range. Is this just a bad shooting slump, or is there something fundamentally broken with Klay Thompson and his fit in the new look Warriors?
I think he'd get up to 12% from three. You know, be optimistic. Yeah, they just don't have the same flow and sort of like chi that they had last year. Mm-hmm. And once the ball's moving consistently, he'll be fine. But it is worrisome in the fact that threes are all he does. So if he's not doing that, then he's pretty much killing you. Like. I mean, he'll get some cheap points every now and then, but I can't see him doing anything in other categories.
You need him averaging 20-plus points with 3 or 4 three-pointers per game.
The Warriors, in general, have been abysmal from the three-point line, other than, like, last night. So,
yeah,
I think it's just a team thing.
Like, we've had a couple of three-game stretches in Klay Thompson's career where he shot 10% from three, right? Yeah. This isn't a career first.
Maybe.
He usually shoots so many that he gets he'll shoot 10% in a 8-3 stretch, but then he'll shoot 8 more in the second half and make all of them. Something like that.
Like, I believe that everybody that drafted Klay Thompson had lowered their expectations already because Kevin Durant was coming. So if you're worried about him getting less shots or scoring less points, well, that was already going to happen.
Yes. Well, he's still attempting 7 threes per game.
There's nothing.
Which is down from last season.
Yeah, just one, though.
There's nothing about Kevin Durant coming to Golden State that makes Klay Thompson not be able to shoot, though.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not worried about that.
There was another person who asked if he should be worried about Steph Curry. I think it's the same thing. You should have expected his numbers to go down. Even if Kevin Durant wasn't there this season, I think you should have expected his numbers to go down from where they were last year just because... He had one of the best offensive seasons ever. He's averaging 26 points, 3 rebounds, 4.3 assists per game.
Well, that's the thing about Curry is he could do other things. I mean, he's already a better player. You knew that, so you took him earlier, obviously. But
if you still took Steph Curry number one overall, are you worried right now?
I think
watching Anthony Davis play the way he is, watching James Harden, Russell Westbrook play the way they are, and Steph Curry still went number one overall in some drafts that I'd played.
I mean, in a roto league, the efficiency is probably going to be there, you know, towards the middle of the year once they figure things out. So he's still flirting with, you know, 40, 50, 90 and that kind of thing that you can't really, maybe a higher volume player doesn't do. So But I guess, yeah, from a sort of can he blow up on any given night kind of upside, yeah, I'd say I'd be worried.
I don't know that Klay Thompson did have a three-game. He had a 1-for-15 over two games last year. That's okay. Pretty terrible.
I mean, we could look it up. I would assume he's had bad. I mean, he wasn't great to start the season last year. Averaged 13 points per game, turned it around. He ended up being fine. But there was some talk before the season that Klay Thompson, he had a great preseason. Averaged like 33 points per 36 minutes or something.
You know what? He only had 5 threes in the first 5 games of last year. Maybe he's just a slow starter.
Maybe. But I think there was some talk about Klay Thompson potentially leading the Warriors in scoring because he was going to have so many open shots. His usage is down. Everybody on the Warriors' usage is down so far. Draymond Green actually down to 14%. Klay down to 22% after being at 26%. So this was predictable.
That was all that ever made sense.
You know, when I wrote my Warriors team preview, I kind of said all four of those guys had some bust potential. Now, Kevin Durant has remained an incredible scoring monster. But, you know, if his efficiency slips, you're going to start to see the scoring dip as well. Any reason to worry about Karl-Anthony Towns 3 games into the season?
I think kind of for the reason that you just said, he was being taken so high that you look at the upside of the other players taken in that area, and it's like he doesn't seem like he's approaching it.
Another guy who was going first overall in some leagues.
Yeah, so ranked sixth in ADP on Fantasy Pros, which is, you know, that's...
But ahead of Anthony Davis, I would assume.
I believe so.
Well, but you didn't take Karl-Anthony Towns ahead of Anthony Davis because you necessarily thought that he would be better than him on a per-game basis. You just thought he would play more games.
But
there was definitely an assumption that Karl-Anthony Towns would improve on his already very good rookie season.
That was probably a mistake.
Well,
yeah, that was one of the best seasons ever. So why
would you? Sometimes you were that good because you were better than you really are,
or your team isn't as good as it is now.
Allen Robinson.
Okay.
In football, same thing.
Sure. I mean, some of the things that we expected from Karl-Anthony Towns would be an improvement in defensive numbers. That's not what we've seen in 3 games. But he does have at least 4 assists in all the 3 games to start the season, which is a nice sign, given that this is Tom Thibodeau's offense. We thought there might be a chance he would get that Joakim Noah usage on offense. But, you know, we were hoping he would score more than Noah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you got him 6th and, like, Kevin Durant went before him and things like that, then you're not too worried about it. But it's just when you see Anthony Davis going 50-20 and things like that, like, I can't really see Kat doing that.
I'm not particularly concerned about Kat.
What about the shooting? I think he's down, like,
the shooting is down. 10%. That's
3 games.
That, for me, shooting is mostly, anytime we're talking about shooting this season or this early in the season, I'm more willing to chalk that up to randomness. Twitter user VSoSpiffy gave us 2 players who are having an absolutely dreadful shooting start to the season. Robert Covington is shooting 17.6% from the field, 15.4% from 3.
Better than Klay Thompson.
He is shooting better than Klay Thompson. 3.3 points per game, still getting a lot of defensive numbers, still getting the three-pointer volume is there. The minutes are solid, 27 minutes per game. Worried about Robert Covington, though?
I mean, I guess if you put a lot of faith in him to begin with, then yeah, he's kind of a fantasy darling because he does a lot for a bad team.
Yeah.
And I think he probably helped you win a league or something like a year and a half ago. But I don't know. I never really saw it with him. And his woeful shooting, I think, started in the preseason.
Yeah.
So I never thought of him as a... Yeah, he'll bounce back from 17%, but, you know, getting above 45% from the field or even above 35 from 3 sounds a little far-fetched for him. It's more about volume with him.
What about Teague? 8.3 points, 7.3 assists is nice. Just a bad shooting start, 6.7% on three-pointers.
I think he airballed a couple of threes.
He has not looked good. A lot of things have gone right for the Pacers, but they are not playing super well so far. Any worry about Jeff Teague?
I mean, a little bit. And I mean, what was realistically the expectation for Jeff Teague? Exactly what he was before.
15-7.
But don't... I mean, what Atlanta had put around him were very skilled big men.
Yes.
And shooters.
Yes.
the Pacers have put guys that want the ball in their hand a lot more around him. So I would expect him to not be as good as he was in Atlanta.
But he's still drafted in the range of D'Angelo Russell, Dennis Schroeder, another guy who's not quite breaking out. I mean, he probably went a while. Yeah, he went like 30 picks before George Hill. And so when you see other sort of value point guards kind of...
I would be worried about him performing in that range.
Okay. Girth Algar. Devin Booker. I know he says, I know it's very reactionary, but I'm still worried a little bit. Devin Booker, 15.3 points, 2 assists per game, 32 minutes, 38% from the field, 20% from 3. This is a guy that I think everybody kind of assumes is a good starter or a good shooter, but was a 34% three-point shooter last year, wasn't a lights-out guy. Did we any worry about Devin Booker as far as like getting ahead of ourselves with Devin Booker breaking out?
I mean, I can't speak for everyone here, but I didn't really see him doing it. Like, if he profiles to be a Klay Thompson, he needs Klay Thompson level percentages, like you said. Well, right now he has Klay Thompson level percentages.
Better than Klay Thompson right now.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that he's averaging 32 minutes a game is like
16.3 shots.
Yeah, like he's getting the opportunity. It just seems like, I don't know, maybe there's something wrong with the rhythm on a really bad team.
And he is dealing with a toe injury, I believe, that forced him out of their most
his shot is all
game.
Toe, so that must be it.
I think another thing, like most of his success happened without Eric Bledsoe or without Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight.
Yes.
And now he's got to play beside both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are he's not going to play beside both of them all year. One of the two of them is getting hurt again.
Or traded.
Yeah, and then when one of those guys disappears, I think maybe his usage goes back up and maybe he starts performing a little bit better. But
yeah, he was kind of thriving as a focal point, and now you know
his
skill set says like, okay, you should be able to kind of be a shooter, and that's it. But it's not really showing that.
And two lower-end guys, any concern as far as whether they're even worth a spot on your roster? That's Terrence Jones averaging 5.7 points, 14.7 minutes per game, not really doing much right now. And Dario Saric, 10.3 points, 4.7 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 36% from the field. In your 12-team league where you've got these guys as one of the end-of-bench guys, are you dropping Dario Saric or Terrence Jones?
I'd probably drop Jones first. I like Terrence Jones, but it doesn't seem like they're going to...
The minutes aren't there right now.
Right. Whereas Saric is on a team that's bad enough and sort of fluid enough that maybe he does put himself ahead of a Covington or something like that. Or I don't know if Ilya Sova messes up his value a little bit, but I think he's got sort of untapped potential that's worth stashing.
I'm conflicted on this because I think I like Terrence Jones as a basketball player more right now.
I do too.
But I do Saric.
If Terrence Jones was on Philly,
if Terrence Jones was on Philly, I would like him more. Yeah.
Right. But no, I dropped Jones, and Saric is going to, like tonight, I like Saric, because they're going to have to rest Embiid, and he's going to have to play a bunch and have a bunch of usage, so sure, but I don't see what it is that has everyone so excited about Saric.
Yeah, you were texting me not particularly flattering thoughts about Dario Saric during the opener.
I think it was, a less athletic Chandler Parsons without range?
Yeah, that was one of 36% from three.
Yeah, I think he made 3 out of 4 yesterday.
There you go.
So
Dario Saric, proven the haters wrong.
He's kind of lacking the willingness to sort of take control of the offense sometimes, I think, which, you know, he's super young.
Well, all they want to do is get the ball to Embiid.
That's the thing. Yeah. Right now, they're featuring Embiid so much that I don't know what the 76ers offense is supposed to look like. This guy's got like a 40% usage. And look, far be it from me to criticize that because he's playing outstanding.
Are you questioning
basketball.
The process, Chris?
I
kind of sounds
like
it.
Did you see they called him the process in the pregame introductions yesterday?
It's a little insulting too.
I mean, look, no, that's his nickname.
Well, I know.
I think he gave himself that nickname, didn't he? Yeah. Like, it's not insulting. He gave himself that nickname.
To the inventor of the process, I mean.
He's got a 40.8% usage right now.
And he shot the ball better yesterday.
Oh, no. He struggled in the first game, but he's turned it around in terms of the efficiency.
Like, the thing I can't understand, at first I kind of felt like Embiid was almost being a little bit of a ball hog and playing a little bit of hero ball.
Mm-hmm.
But then you watch the rest of the Sixers when they pass the ball to him, and they all just scoot out of the way and watch.
Yeah.
Well, I think in practice for the last year, the guys who have played with him, even you know just for a little bit, could clearly see he's the best player on the team.
Right.
Like, he probably separates himself in every drill. He's probably like just, you know, he's just enormous and so skilled that you kind of, I think they're even a little mystified by him. So that could sort of make sense to me. But yeah, you're right. It's like, you think they'd be more mad, like he just jab steps and shoots every time he gets it.
Right.
but no.
I feel like there's a lot of just happy to be here still on the 76ers. You're not gonna rock the boat when you're making $450,000.
And if they're playing at home and the crowd's going nuts when he gets the ball, like, you're not gonna like try and talk him out of that.
All right, let's move on to the injuries, news, and notes before we get to Wednesday's DFS talk. Deontay Davis scored 17 points with 2 blocks on Tuesday with Marc Gasol out for the Grizzlies. Someone to keep an eye on if Gasol gets hurt. Rookie, another rookie who made his debut on Tuesday, Jakey Lehman.
Wrote Jakey Lehman on the rundown.
Yeah,
like, Jakey Lehman
scored 17 points in 8 minutes in his Trailblazers debut. Deep.
Came out firing.
Sleeper. Yeah.
It was garbage time, and he was ready to
shoot or shoot.
He's buried on the bench behind Evan Turner, so he's gotta get his shots up somehow. Jeremy Lamb out 2 to 3 weeks with a hamstring strain. Timofey Mozgov had 4 stitches on the left side of his mouth. Had a black eye that was apparently swollen shut after
the picture of his face after the game was
and
he's not playing tonight.
He's going. I don't think he's been ruled out.
He's game time decision.
He's undergoing a CT scan on his left eye.
They're going to see if they can get his face to work and then
to see if he has a fractured orbital bone first, and then they'll determine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mark Medina of the Los Angeles Daily News has said he's been ruled out.
Get Tarik Black in your lineups.
Larry Nance
might play some 5.
I'm kind of disappointed, though.
Julius Randle.
Like, Mozgov is more like the Jokic, Nurkic. They're supposed to just play through this. Yeah. I don't care if your eyeball is falling out.
Seems like a guy that would not mind having a broken face and play.
Yeah, go ahead and say it, Chris.
I don't think that's fair. Everyone plays through injuries, Heath.
No, just Timofey Mozgov.
Let's talk about some other Wednesday injuries. The Celtics have a whole bunch. Al Horford, like I said, ruled out with a concussion. Kelly Olynyk not playing as he continues to recover from a shoulder injury. He could be back in the next week or so. Marcus Smart expects to return from his preseason ankle injury tonight. They might be without Avery Bradley, who's dealing with a shoulder injury. Isaiah Thomas suffered a bruised tailbone, I believe. They are both officially questionable. Not sure what their status is at the moment. Wesley Matthews has a foot injury questionable. Mike Conley and Marc Gasol expected to play tonight after sitting out Tuesday. Jahlil Okafor expected to play. Joel Embiid is not. Roy Hibbert is out. Devin Booker sat out Monday's game with a toe injury. We'll see if he's available. If not, Brandon Knight should be in the starting lineup again. Let's rank the players over $9,000 on FanDuel. In tonight's action, we've got Russell Westbrook at $12,000, James Harden at $11,200. Anthony Davis still under 11,000 at 10.7, Lillard at 9.9, Blake Griffin at 9.1, and Chris Paul at 9,000. How are you ranking them?
You want me to go first?
Sure. That's why you're here, Heath.
I will go Lillard first.
Okay.
I like Lillard a lot against Phoenix. I like that. That's my favorite game to stack if you're going to just stack an entire game.
Okay.
I don't expect any defense to be played there at all. James Harden second, Anthony Davis third, Westbrook fourth, Griffin, and then Paul.
Okay, Joe.
The Lillard point has me reconsidering, but I think Davis is first for me. I think he's in the Westbrook Harden range, and he's just cheaper. Hopefully, they get that W tonight because he could use it. I think Westbrook and Harden are sort of interchangeable, and then I'd go Lillard, Paul, Griffin.
Okay.
Disagree.
The Lillard one, I mean. It should be a good matchup against Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing really well right now. He's getting a lot of usage. It is the second night of a back-to-back, so that's a little concerning.
And he only played 32 minutes last night.
Okay. He had to travel.
Not really worried about that.
That travel for Portland sucks. They had to fly from Portland to Phoenix last night and play a basketball game. That's a long flight. That's like a 3.5-hour flight.
I don't think that's the problem, though.
Okay.
It's
the time zones?
It's the time zones.
Okay.
Because really, the planes they're flying on, he just went to sleep.
All right.
Like, it's not that big a deal.
Okay.
In my opinion. I've never played a basketball game after flying, so I don't really know.
It's 2 hours and 30 minutes nonstop.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem like that big a deal.
It's a long flight.
It's a long 2 hours.
You rode in a car to the airport.
Once you take into account the...
Chris thinks there's a different atmosphere on the West Coast. It's like the movie
Anybody who knows me knows that I know nothing about geography. I have no idea how far things are from each other outside of Florida, really.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing. I would say Anthony Davis is my number one.
Yeah.
even with the higher price tag, I want him in my lineup at this point, the way he's playing, the usage that he has. I actually think you guys are underrating Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. They're cheaper, both, so you can have a little more flexibility in your lineups. They've got a great matchup against OKC.
I think Blake does.
Okay.
I don't have the evidence to back this up, but I feel like when Russell Westbrook goes up against other point guards that are considered elite, he tries on defense again.
I don't think he ever really tries on defense.
Yeah, but Chris Paul might counter that with trying less on offense and just sort of...
Right, but then he's not going to be a good play.
Probably not. I mean, he could still get a ton of assists trying less, I think, but...
Let me see. He averaged 21.7 points and 13 assists per game in three matchups with the Thunder last year.
That was good.
That would be more than worth his price tag tonight. So I'm going to go with those guys, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, second and third. I'm going to go Harden, Westbrook, and then Lillard in the end.
Lillard last. Really worried about that 2.5 hour flight.
I am very worried about the 2.5 hour flight. No, it's more about the fact that I trust the other guys to get more peripheral stats. I think Lillard's a lot more scoring dependent, and I always feel a little iffy about that in my $10,000 players.
What do you think of the Houston-New York matchup? Which way do you see that swinging? Like, are they going to get New York moving, or are they going to be
New York, if we're talking about the whole game, I think the pace will be pretty high because Jeff Hornacek does want the second unit in New York to run. I don't know about the first unit.
They can't.
Probably not. But I think the Rockets are still going to push the pace. I think the Knicks are still probably going to have more success than normal scoring. So I do like that game for fantasy purposes. I think the Rockets are going to have a kind of Coors Field effect on fantasy.
They're just a moving Coors Field.
Yeah, I just think they're going to play so fast. Every game's going to be, you know, in the 110s.
For those of you who don't know or don't play baseball,
Coors Field dramatically increases scoring in baseball because of the thin air.
One guy that was just under 9,000 that I really like tonight is John Wall.
Okay.
Anytime John Wall's under 9,000 and at home, where he gets an assist every time he touches the ball.
The assist numbers in Washington have been inflated over the course of his career, yes.
So
I think he averages like almost two more assists per game at home.
And he'll be overlooked.
Is that like a stat keeper conspiracy right there?
Assists are arbitrary.
Yeah.
Right. So, but the Washington guy is especially generous.
Their best player's best attribute is assists.
True. So they just gotta make that shine.
They enhance that. I think it happens with rebounds, with some of the top rebounders as well at home.
There's also New Orleans was notorious for that during the Chris Paul era.
They would give him like three dribble assists and stuff like that.
Yeah, there was actually like a piece on Deadspin's like statistical analysis vertical that talked about that. You guys want to talk about your favorite cheap players? We're going under 5,500 or 5,500 and under tonight. So who do you guys have?
Why don't you start off this time?
My favorite point guard under at 5,500 or less.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, you don't have one.
Tim Frazier.
Yeah.
I think he's the obvious
call.
I can't believe his price is this low. He's averaging 36.8 fantasy points per game. I don't know what's going on here. He's topped 36 in three of his four games as well.
Like, here's my question. If this happens in the middle...
The one bad one was the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, I don't care so much about that.
It was against San Antonio.
If this happens in the middle of the season, we might jump onto it once or twice. We'd mostly call it point chasing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'd chase it against a team... Like, Memphis is going to play slow, right?
They're playing a little faster, I think.
Are they? I don't know.
I see what you're saying, though. It's like you don't believe this is like really who he is.
But this is what he did at the end of last season.
This is all the Pelicans know right now.
Yeah,
so.
He averaged like 14-7 in the once he got to the Pelicans last season. They don't have anybody. It's less about chasing points. It's not like Tim Frazier's like shooting absurdly well, and that's why we're playing him.
Right.
It's because he's got
pretty much chasing assists. Like somebody has to give Anthony Davis the ball before he scores.
It's probably going to be him.
Right.
I would expect.
Do you have a favorite?
I'd probably, and I mean, this is a bad matchup, but I think he may have to shoot a little bit more. I'll go with Sergio Rodriguez for $400
less. I think he's the only other one, really, that falls into that range, because then you're looking at guys who might not even play and
right.
don't sleeper. Do anything.
Deep sleeper here would be Brandon Jennings.
Brandon Jennings, I was going to say,
4,300
has some hope, but...
Yeah, I think for you said 55 and under, right? Yes. I think I'd go $500 more and play Ishmith
okay.
against Brooklyn.
Okay. Ishmith has one game over 30 fantasy points, averaging 23.9 per game.
If he's but ever going to do it, tonight's the night.
I think he'll play better than he has been so far.
Right.
What about a shooting guard? There are some really interesting shooting guards in this range.
Well, you got to like Courtney Lee, don't you?
You do have to like Courtney Lee.
3,700.
Revenge game going against Houston.
And he's like, he's almost $100 per minute he's going to play.
Yeah, probably. I mean, this is the problem with Courtney Lee is that I've done this long enough to know that when you expect Courtney Lee to do things, he tends to not do things.
What about... But that's... Like, that's just randomness.
Yeah, but he also just sure. doesn't have...
Well, he's just not a high-usage player. He doesn't get
he doesn't
a lot
get
of
assists.
Assists. He's a solid defender.
He gets steals and shoots threes.
He's not a guy that gets a ton of steals. Like, I like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 4,500 a lot as well.
Yeah, I like him too.
There are actually some really good options in the 5,500 and under
range. Yeah, I still think Eric Gordon's bound for
absolutely.
One of these. Like,
yes.
Okay, Harden, stop hogging all the assists, all the stats kind of games. So this could be it.
He's someone that I think could go off for 35 fantasy points any night. Bradley Beal, you know, the minutes are not where you want them to be. 24 in the opener, then played 40 in the second game. But he's someone, again, that can get hot, can get a lot of steals. And Jordan Clarkson as well. This shooting guard is a really good place to save some money. What about small forward?
I think last week, like, small forward was the main place that we wanted to save money. And I don't see as many. I mean, I'm going to bet on Robert Covington breaking out of this mm-hmm. shooting slump.
Yep.
Because I think, really, with the minutes he's going to need to play this year, he's probably more of a $5,500 to $6,000 player.
He's $4,900 tonight.
$4,900 tonight, so I'll bet on that. And then I kind of feel the same way about Bazemore.
Okay.
I don't think... like a lot of the bargains this early in the year are the guys that have played like crap. So you're not going to feel good about playing them. If somebody's had two or three good games in a row, their price has jumped way higher than it should be.
I would also throw in TJ Warren, a guy who has played really well this season, averaging 32.7 fantasy points per game. He is very scoring heavy. He's not going to give you much if he doesn't score 20 points, but he's got some potential. Mo Harkless, second night of a back-to-back, has some potential. And Harrison Barnes is only 5,200. It's a tough matchup.
What about Lance, 3,900?
Lance Stevenson, another guy.
So it's like if you're going to go under the 4,500 range, you kind of want somebody who, you know, is either going to fail spectacularly or succeed spectacularly.
The question for me is how many minutes does he play? He's only played 15 and 18 over the last two. If that's what he's playing, it's hard to play Lance, but he's definitely a high variance play, if nothing else. Point power forward, my favorite is Jamichael Green. What about you guys?
I'll play some Sarge tonight.
Okay.
He's only 3,900.
3,900, yeah.
Price went down because of two terrible games to start the year and hasn't bounced back yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll definitely have some of him. I don't know. I don't love a lot of the other
Marvin Williams
cheap power forward options.
Marvin Williams is a good matchup against Philadelphia. Enes Kanter could come in against that Clippers second unit.
I mean, we haven't mentioned the Celtics yet mm-hmm. because we're not calculating all Amir, of their guys sitting out.
Amir Johnson.
If half the team sits out, then there's going to be some Celtics value.
Yes. Amir Johnson with Al Horford out could play more minutes for sure.
And there should be a lot of rebounds available because there's no way Chicago's shooting like they did in the first game of the year.
I think the Nets are the new Sixers.
We've said that in every game so far.
They have a team full of bad shooters. They're not going to continue to shoot well.
I don't know. They're the best shooting team in the NBA.
It's three games. They're bad.
I think the Nets are the new Sixers in that you kind of always want one of their random pieces
yeah.
uh-huh. in your lineup. So Trevor Booker is mine tonight.
Trevor Booker, I believe, averaging a double-double to open the season.
Yeah, they're playing him a ton. He's scrappy, so yep. he'll at least do the sort of little things. And if he puts together a couple points, it's not a bad outing. He's a little more expensive than I would want him to be, I guess, 5,300.
Yeah.
But on that team, you know, there's a lot of potential.
And center. There's been a center. It's been hard for me to justify spending a ton of money at center because there are so many cheap guys that I like.
But the one we keep wanting to play hasn't been good.
Clint Capella?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there are other guys that you can play, though.
I like Tyson Chandler.
Okay.
I already talked about liking that matchup. He's had two great games, one terrible game. Again, any of these cheap guys, it's a variance play. Who?
Hey, Clint Capella's had 5x value twice.
Sir.
At his current price, right?
Yeah, he's been right around here.
You expect more from him in that.
Yes,
offense,
I'm disappointed in his play so far, yes.
What about Tyler Zeller? Is he going to get any?
Tyler Zeller could absolutely see a little more playing time. Cody Zeller as well. Heath is trying to rush me. Cody Zeller could see some playing.
He's giving him the wrap it up.
Could see a boost in playing time as well.
Throw out your Zellers tonight.
Let's throw out Steven Adams playing 30-plus minutes every night. Joakim Noah has a good matchup tonight against Houston. I like all those guys. Center is an endless fountain of value.
An endless fountain of value.
Did you see Joakim Noah's air ball last night?
I think we're just going to leave it there. Yes, that was great. That was fantastic.
It was about 4 feet short of the rim.
Did you want a lineup?
I don't think we have time. Give us a lineup, Heath.
Eric Bledsoe, Damian Lillard, James Harden, Eric Gordon, Harrison Barnes, Andre Robertson, Paul Millsap, Dario Saric, Tyson Chandler.
You're a millionaire.
Jeremy Lin, Tim Frazier, James Harden, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Carmelo Anthony is only $7,500 against Houston, you guys. That is a steal.
That did look pretty enticing.
I am going to have some Carmelo Anthony. TJ Warren, Kristaps Porzingis is only $6,800. Jamichael Green. And I'm doubling up on the Grizzlies. I'm going with Marc Gasol on the second night of a back-to-back. He sat out last game, so I think he's going to be good.
Me. I got Frazier, Isaiah Thomas, hope he plays. Sean Kilpatrick, Jamal Crawford, hope it's a blowout. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, hope it's a blowout. Carmelo Anthony, Anthony Davis, Kristaps, and Gobert.
I like it. That's going to do it for Wednesday. We will be back probably on Sunday with the Week 3 preview. I don't think we'll have another podcast this week. Thanks for listening. As always, I'm Chris Towers for Joe Polito and Heath Cummings. Thanks, guys. See ya.